This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and today I'm joined by Bryce McKenzie from the Extension Office. Hi Bryce, how are you?
I'm well, how are you today?
I'm well, and thank you for spending some time with me. You are the 4-H / Youth Development Education Officer for Johnson County, which means that you work, you're part subsidised by the University of Wyoming and partly by the county, but your role is very much to work with youth.
Absolutely.
And you've been here for a little while now. About 3 years, I think you told me earlier.
We are into year number 4 now, so going into it.
And so I was interested to talk to you about 4-H, and it seems a good time to do that. You're at the very beginning of the 4-H year, which runs October to September.
Yep.
For those of us who didn't grow up in an ag and ranch environment, what is 4-H?
Yeah, great question. So 4-H, I guess the basic rundown for us is, we like to take kids that are between the ages of 5 and 18. 5 to 7 is our Clover Bud program, which is an introduction to 4-H. Kind of exposes those kids to different facets and programs that we'll do later on. Gives them a brief intro. When they get to 8 through the age of 18, they're officially in the 4-H world. Our main goal here in 4-H in Johnson County is to connect a kid in something they enjoy with an adult that can teach them in a positive learning environment. And so we have a screening process that all of our volunteers go through, and then they go through a training so that they can work with youth, and they're certified through the University of Wyoming, and then they come back to us and say, all right, we're ready to work with kids. We send them out with kids to do things like cake decorating, like shooting sports, you know, you name it, a 4-H project we have a volunteer for here in Johnson County. So, yeah, that's our goal, is to take kids, find what their passions are. We call them their sparks in 4-H, finding their spark. We find the things that they enjoy that make them light up, and we try to connect them with an adult to continue learning that way.
So if you've watched one of our parades in the summer or the winter, there's a lot of involvement in 4-H. Do we have a lively and vibrant 4-H program in Johnson County?
Absolutely. So I guess some background for you. I was very, very lucky to step into the role here in Johnson County. My predecessor, Jim Dawson, made 4-H here in Johnson County a great program. His energy and excitement for it and his recruitment of the leaders really made a difference. At the end of his retirement, before I took the role, we're at 283 kids. Our goal was to break 300. We wanted to sit kind of at our average school size. In 2020, at the end of that year, we were at 297. Then in 21, we were at 300 and, oh gosh, I think we were at 302. So we finally broke that mark. And then this last year, we jumped. We were at 326. Our involvement in our Cloverbud program grew. And then this year, from 22 into 23, we graduated 12 seniors. So we know that we lose those guys at the age of 18. We actually are 329 when we closed out this year. So even losing those 12 seniors, we gain them plus 3 others back. So
we tend to think of things not growing but kind of shrinking in this modern world. What do you attribute that success to?
The leaders we have here, the folks here in the county. Our 4-H council does a really, really good job. Amanda Montrastelli, Leslie Pearson, Brent Painter, and Kristen Alger. Those guys sit down and they build a budget for 4-H through the year. They build line items for folks that have requested. So all of our leaders have the ability to request funds for a project. So like our beef leader put a request in this last year and brought in clinicians for the beef kids. Our sheep folks did the same thing. I know that, you know, cake decorating, those different projects have different line items. Because that council does a really, really nice job of making sure that all of those programs, that their needs are met, and then all of those leaders that facilitate those programs are, gosh, they're incredible. And I think that's what we attribute the program to, is the support from those guys. And then beyond that, I mean, if you just take and look at it from a community aspect, we're very fortunate that we work very closely and very well with our Johnson County Fair Board. Those guys are really good to work with. We work well and closely with our commissioners. We have a lot of support there. And so we're very, very fortunate. Just here as a community in a whole, the attitude of giving back and supporting youth is unmatched, I think, across the state. We're very fortunate. And that's what drives our program, I think, is those leaders.
So you described in one breath, you described beef and cake decorating.
Yeah.
That seems a massive diversity. What are the kind of things that a 4-H participant could do?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. The coolest thing about 4-H is that we can make anything a project, right? We have a bunch of projects. When they go to enroll in the 4-H program and they sit down and look at our project list, there's two little things that they can press in there. If they don't see what they want to do in 4-H and they're like, well, maybe it's not a project, there's two little things they can click. There's a 4-H self-determined category and a 4-H miscellaneous. So the miscellaneous kind of covers a project like entomology, where the kid actually made the shadow box himself.
And that's butterflies.
Yeah, that would be insects and butterflies. And so that kid does an entomology project, but he also made the shadow box. That's a woodworking project. So we kind of, that one could go either way. We could probably stick that one miscellaneous. Our self-determined category is there's no component here that really fits in the 4-H wing. That's where you're going to go. We actually, I was telling you this story here just earlier, that we had a young man that poured a concrete pad and erected a basketball hoop on it and painted the ground, and he did a poster board and came to the county fair, did it as a static project, did the poster board of what he learned in the process of building this basketball pad with his dad that summer. Sat down, did the interview at the county fair with the static exhibit. That project went on and is the grand champion self-determined at the Wyoming State Fair. And so, I mean, that kid built a basketball court.
Which you do not think of as a 4-H project.
Yep, absolutely.
So what do you think kids learn as they go through 4-H then? I mean, if you've taken that example that you used of, basically an athletic
yep.
pursuit, with some construction skills attached to it.
Absolutely.
And so on. But what do kids generally get from being involved in 4-H? What do you think prepares them for later life?
There's two things that we do here in Johnson County that I think give kids some tools in their toolbox to use later. First and foremost is our clubs. So every kid that joins 4-H joins a 4-H club, all right?
And clubs, how many clubs are there?
Yep, so we have 12 community clubs. And we have one club that's affiliated with Buffalo High School, with the Buffalo High School Shotgun Team, that we partner with those guys and give them the access to our leaders and to equipment on our range.
And again, shooting,
yep.
a gun club does not necessarily seem like it fits with the traditional stereotype of 4-H.
Yeah, yeah. We always joke about the cows and plows. That's what we frame us in, and really we expand so much further than that. That's the really cool thing about us.
So, to go back to the question, what does a kid get from being involved in 4-H?
Yeah, so those kids, back to that, we set them up in, they join a club, and it's a community club. And so they have different ideas, different philosophies, different projects. Kids from all different walks are in a community club together. So if you're a beef kid and you join your club, we don't have a club for you that's specific to the beef project. We have a club for you to come that you can meet a kid that does pocket pets at county fair.
How would you find a good fit for a particular...
Yeah, and the nice thing for us is once you're in a club, it's not set in stone. We can put you in there for a year, or if you want to try it for a month or two, or you want to go to a meeting, we have a lot of club leaders you can call up, go see a meeting, go sit down and say, this isn't really going to be our cup of tea, and we can find you the right fit. No real worries there.
So is there a fee associated with it?
Yeah, so there's some clubs that charge a fee. And the reason that they do is they use those fees later on for, like, pizza parties within the club or club T-shirts, those type of things. As far as Johnson County 4-H, we don't have a fee to join. It's completely free. The only fees that we have that are associated are your project fees that you take on as a youth. And we have a lot of scholarship opportunity and funding, again, through the 4-H Council, through the Johnson County Fairgrounds Foundation and different folks like that, the YES Committee, those type of entities here in the community, again, support our kids so well that, 4-H is really quite affordable for them to do. And even on the shooting sports side, we think about the cost of ammunition, the cost of guns, we think about targets and all the things that go into it. Shooting sports here in Johnson County, it's a $10 due. So you pay $10 and you can shoot every week through the season.
Hard to buy a box of shells for $10 right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you go do two rounds of shotgun that night, you just shot 50 shells. I mean, that's incredible. $10. And you're going to do that every week. you know, and we encourage you to come. You know, the more you come, the better you get, and the better you get, the more you shoot. And I mean, so that's a really neat thing. So yeah, they'll come into those community clubs, and within that club, they will do demonstrations. They will do some kind of educational activity. And then we require each club to do at least 2 community service projects. And so we teach those kids community service and really connect them. Some real popular ones here are Friends Feeding Friends, Meals on Wheels. We have a lot of kids that they do Blue Christmas, and they do Santa's Helpers, the Santa's Workshop. We have a lot of kids that give back to the seniors, a lot of kids that we've had some go to the vet's home and do trash pickup. Highway cleanup's really popular. This last year, we actually got a couple clubs to do the Adopt-A-Trail program. And so a lot of community service based in those clubs. And so in that club, what we're doing there is we're teaching those kids tools, again, for later on, like community service, like giving back, like interacting with peers that are not the same interest type of you. And then beyond that, because they're in 4-H, they can come to project meetings, where then they connect with those kids and those folks in the industry that are all like-minded and give them that experience in the real world. So there's 2 sides of it. You know, we have that where it's like, really, we focus on that thing that you came here to learn. And then we also say, but here's some real-life tools that are really, really essential. And so that's kind of the neat format for us, is that we're set up that way, because then we don't have, you know, one group that does one specific thing. But the reason that we do it this way is there are so many kids in our county that do multiple things. I guess an example off the top of my head is Bryson and Sawyer Kolb. Those 2 boys, both of them did a wildlife and hunting static exhibit this year at the county fair. Last year, younger brother Sawyer, he showed in the pocket pet show. He showed in the sheep show. He showed in the pig show. Older brother Bryson, he did all of those too, except he did not show in the pocket pet show. And they're running a horse too. I mean, those boys are just incredibly busy. I mean, and it's across the board. You know, I think of other kids like, oh heck, Lily Ruby, for example. I mean, fabric and fashion day, she's got 10 different things that she's sewn together that she's going to go in there and model. Like, it's not just a one thing, you know, that a lot of these kids are doing. And I think that's a really, really cool thing. And a lot of it happens that kids will come into 4-H and they'll, oh yeah, I want to do shooting sports, and that's the thing I'm going to do. They get in the club, they see a demonstration, and they start talking to their buddy, and all of a sudden, oh, I might try that too. And then we see that growth and kind of that expansion, and they're trying new things. And then again, they choose that project. They dedicate to learn about it through the year. They can show their skills at the county fair, and then obviously get the chance to go into the state fair, and that's kind of how they showcase what they've learned. That, and then through their record books, you know, that's what they show that they learn now. You know, it's about those projects. What they don't know is that time commitment and that dedication to that project is teaching them responsibility, right? It's our community service is teaching them respect. It's teaching them how to interact with those seniors, you know, to interact with a bridge a generational gap. You know, those basic little tools that they don't know they're getting now.
All you're describing is really being sewn into the very fabric of our community. And one of the great things about Johnson County is, I think, our strong sense of community and connectedness, and absolutely, our strong sense of being good neighbours and good stewards.
Yeah.
And 4-H is absolutely a cradle.
Yeah.
A cradle for that. So how do these kids, how do they manage to jam in all the things? When are they doing these projects?
Yeah, so just looking at the calendar on the wall.
I have to tell listeners that is a daunting amount of scroll on an annual calendar.
And we're still planning in November and December, because those are the months that, you know, we finish October, we have an idea of how many kids we, you know, are kind of getting back in enrollment. November 15th is the last day for our clubs to charter. I sit down with our club leaders every year and make sure that their club is meeting their educational goals, doing their community service, doing their treasurer's books, their secretary books, and answering questions that club leaders might have. And that's the last day to do that. And so that gives me a really good idea of what those clubs are doing in the next year, and gives me a chance to kind of start planning. And so November, December is really the slow season for us here in the office, because then we're planning for the kickoff. But we see kids that, the nice thing, I guess, for us here in 4-H is, you know, like in high school or in athletics, you're competing for a spot on the team, right? Here in 4-H, like if you're a livestock judging kid and you're competing for a spot on, say, your high school FFA team, right? That team runs four, and that's the team they can run. Here in 4-H at our 307 series contests, we can run a team of four, or we can run individuals. There's some contests we go to, like the Nile, where we can run six kids on a team. Right, so we have a little bit more flexibility, which allows those kids more flexibility in their time.
So what kind of a time commitment do you think it is to a kid?
Yeah, and I think that all depends on the project they choose. Like a kid that chooses to do a market steer, the sales are happening right now. I know quite a few kids that already own them. We're a month after fair, and they already own their new steer. And they're gonna own that steer until the end of August next year. And then the next week, they're going to start shopping again. And that time commitment is unreal. We have some kids that are raising livestock year-round, right, that are consistently, you know, lambing or calving and doing this stuff year in, year out, day after day. We also have some kids that don't even realize that they're doing their 4-H project every day. We have some kids that really enjoy cooking, and they go home and they work with their mom and they cook in the kitchen. Well, they don't even realize that, you know, when they turn around and they do their cookies for the county fair, that, you know, they've been practicing that too. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, I mean, their time commitment can be however involved they so choose. That's the nice thing about us. Like I was saying with those teams is like at the Wyoming State Fair, we have is the 307 kind of wrap-up series for the livestock judging team. The Wyoming State Fair judging is the state event. The kids that have been to every practice, that performed well at the contest, that did earn their spot, they're going to make the team. That's going to be the official team. But every kid that could make those practices that they could and they came to them and they still put in the effort and came, we still have the opportunity to put them in as individuals, right? So they still have the opportunity to still have the opportunity to go do those things, right? It's not a earn your spot or sit, right? It's a, you still get to be here. You still get to like participate and be part of it. And so that's the cool thing on our side of things is we'll meet kids wherever they are. As far as knowledge, as far as, you know, comfort level with adults, comfort level with other kids, you know, I mean, we meet those kids just where they are, and we try to build a positive space for them. And then beyond that is, you know, we just continue to meet them where they are. Whether they want to come in and do something 4-H every day, great, we'll do it. If you'd rather come in, you know, once a year and see us, that's fine too. You know, I mean, that's the beauty of our side of things is that freedom to just kind of meet folks where they need to be met.
So you mentioned FFA.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe how FFA and 4-H intersect? And maybe describe what FFA is.
Yeah.
It stands for.
Yeah, absolutely. So FFA back in the day used to be the Future Farmers of America, and not every kid in FFA was a farmer, right? And so they did away with that, and now we still have FFA, you know, as a symbolic, but it doesn't stand for anything anymore. FFA is really, you know, the one we think about is traditionally rooted in ag. You know, we think about those things. Those guys, just like 4-H, have come leaps and bounds, and that's not what they offer anymore. They still have those programs, right? Just like we do. We still have those kids that are showing sheep, showing beef. They do too. They still have their farm and ranch business. You know, they still have those CDEs and SAEs that they do that have been really traditional. But they also do stuff like ag sales. They do stuff that you know, marketing and things like that that are not what we think of in a traditional sense, right? An ag sales team, they could be presented something that they've never seen before, but they got to go learn about it and sell about it and convince somebody to buy it, you know? And though that kind of interview process that they're having there reminds me a lot of our static interview process that we have at our county fair. When we send those kids in with their project, they sit down one-on-one with a judge and have to convince them that, yep, we've learned this, this was our outcome, and this is why we did the project. Essentially the same kind of thing there, same kind of setup in my mind. A lot of folks say that, you know, we'll compete, and we do, because we see a lot of crossover in kids. We have a lot of enrollment that fits the same. We've been pretty fortunate here that there's been a healthy relationship between 4-H and FFA. Our assistant advisor, Bev Bowden, was at one point in time the Johnson County 4-H educator. You know, she sat right here in my shoes. So she understands where I'm coming from and, you know, understands where the kids are coming from, too, because she's been on both sides of it. You know, our new main advisor, Mr. Norskog, he's been really good to work with so far. And in his short tenure here as our FFA advisor, he's been really good to work with. Had really good conversations with him at County Fair, and it just sounds like we're going to continue the partnership that we've built. I know that the last couple of years I've helped coach their wool judging team and their livestock judging team, and it's really kind of fun because it's a lot of those kids that are doing it in 4-H are also doing it in FFA. And so it gives me a chance to have some consistency with those kids. They get to come in and know that they're going to work with the same coach. They know that, you know, how they're going to do stuff is going to be in the same manner. I've learned that routine is very crucial for kids, for youth, and, you know, they really thrive in routine because it's comfortable. You know, it sets them up in an environment that comfort level is huge when we talk about learning, right? We don't learn anything when we go into a room and we're worried about everybody else in there, right? We need to focus on presenting, and that means you got to be comfortable enough with the folks you're with and the guy presenting, right? I mean, it's one of those things. And the fun thing about 4-H is we give you that routine, but the stuff we do also kind of puts you in an uncomfortable spot where you have to learn, right? Because that's how you change and learn. And so we do fun things. I'm thinking about like our wool judging team. There's one time that we'll set up a rail, which is 15 fleeces, and we expect kids to go through. They have 2 minutes of fleece. They have to tell you the grade of the fleece, and so what micron. Micron is the diameter of the fleece itself of each individual strand. And that level is a little advanced. We ask the kids to do blood grades. So like a Rambouillet, which is a full blood fine wool sheep, it would be a fine. A Columbia, that's a half fine wool Rambouillet crossed on a coarse Lincoln, that's a half blood because it's half traditional, right? And so that's what we expect out of 4-H kids. They're also going to tell us a yield. They're going to make a staple length call because if it's shorter than 3 inches, a mill can't process the fleece. So those kids have to be able to identify if it's 3 inches or shorter. Our fine fleeces, we'll take them down to 2 and 2 1/4 inches and call them French combing. And then anything shorter than that is clothing. And it's, you know, usually made for, I guess, the felt type industry. And so, I mean, these kids are doing this on 15 fleeces, and they're expected to do this stuff in 2 minutes. What they don't realize is this is all stuff that's useful in the industry later on in life if they so chose to go back into the wool industry. But I sit there and think of they're going through this process, and it's very routine, right? They do this very, very much so. Sometimes we'll take and we'll set up 4 and make them think they're going to go judge a class, and we'll tell them, all right, guys, this is a set of 4. I need you to judge them. 1, 2, 3, 4, do it like a rail. And they go, and you have to place them based off of how you sort them if you were going to just give them the same grades on a rep. And so what that does is they're still in the same routine. They're still in the same environment, but it changes their way of thinking. It's not the same routine that they do when they go to judge that fleece every time. Because when you're judging classes, you do a lot of it on the weight rather than the quality. Because that, you know, the wool industry is a commercial industry and driven, you know, in most part by weight, right? And so it's kind of fun to say, hey, now, like, let's look at it from a different angle and give those kids that opportunity. But, yeah, it's just incredible the things you get to do in 4-H and the way you get to interact with kids and the folks that we have here that we have interacting with the kids. I mean, they, yeah, do a wonderful job. But, yeah, we see a lot of routine is good for kids, and, yeah, back into it. We've been really, really fortunate that, you know, we've built a great partnership with FFA. We've built a great foundation of 4-H here in Johnson County. Those kids kind of know what to expect when they come in the door, and that's really fun for us to know that we have a positive environment, that those kids like coming to. You know, that's what we want to sustain. We talked about, I know you used that word earlier, is sustain, and we'd like to sit about 300. If we can maintain 300 and maintain, we want to follow our average school size. We want to follow that number. That would mean that we're doing something good enough to, you know, that's kind of our per capita limit. And that would mean that we're still providing that environment to, you know, harness that many kids.
Do you find that kids, once they get into the program, they stay in the program?
You know, that used to be and educators across the nation struggle with this. We do lose some kids to FFA, right? Because they want to focus on one, right? Because like we were talking, there's so many things for a kid to do. It's a beautiful thing and a curse here in Johnson County that there are so many opportunities for kids. what a blessing that we have that many opportunities for kids, you know, in the summertime, in the fall time, in the winter time, through extracurriculars in school, through extracurriculars in the community. But it also makes it tough, right? I mean, because there's just so much for them to do. And
so retention is an issue that you need to overcome?
Yeah.
I think golden 300.
Yeah, you know, I think that retention is an issue across the nation. The interesting thing here in Johnson County, like I was telling you earlier, is we graduated 12 kids. If we just look at it as a percentage, and we break our seniors down, are in a range of 14 to 18, and in just that 1 year, in the age of 18, we graduate 12 of them, and if we can kind of think of that as an average every year, we're sitting there going, we're doing something well as far as retaining those senior members, but they're staying into it till the end. A couple things I think that fuel that are scholarship opportunities. Our council, again, does a really good job of that. Our livestock committee has a scholarship. The state, as far as Wyoming 4-H, has scholarship opportunities. I mean, it's incredible the chances those kids have the longer they stay in it. And if they are completing their record books and staying in good standing in our program there, I mean, the opportunities are endless.
So how would can a kid jump in at any time of the year?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so how would somebody get involved now?
Yeah, so we're open enrollment. There's only a few things that you can't jump in and do if you just enroll randomly through the year. And they have to, the reason I say that is because they correlate with ownership deadlines of livestock, right? So February 1st is the ownership deadline for cattle, excuse me. If you don't have your market beef owned by then and tagged in, and you entered 4-H, say, February 3rd, and you wanted to do a beef project, the following year you're able to do it, right? You just missed that window. Our small animal stuff, June 1st is their ownership deadline, right? And so that kind of gives us a timeline. But as far as 4-H and our static projects and our shooting sports and all of the things that you can do in 4-H, you can join anytime.
And so somebody would pick up the phone and they'd call you?
Yep. So they can come down here. We're at 30 Fairgrounds Road. If you come in the main entrance of the fairgrounds and stay right, follow the yellow signs. We're in an old house out here. It'll look like a house, but if you pull in, you'll see it's an office. I've been telling folks that if they go by the house that on the back deck has purple tubs, that's the one. Mike has been doing some research this spring, and we used some tubs that he started some plants in, and some old lick tubs that we had. And so I always tell folks, yep, that's how you know it's the extension office, right? Is we got an old lick tub that we used to start a garden in. Yeah, they can swing by and see us anytime. They can call us 307-684-7522. Will get us. They'll call in. They'll either get Micah, who's our Ag and Natural Resource Educator, myself, who's the 4-H Educator, or Donna, our Administrative Assistant. Any three of us will get you lined up where you need to go. Or we can do enrollment online. That is where we'll end up telling you to go, is online. It'll be 4-H.zsuite, as in a hotel suite, not as in chocolate suite. 4-H.zsuite.org. It's 4-H.zsuite.org. That'll be where you go to enroll. You will build a household. Under that household, you'll build individual profiles for however many youth you have, or if you want to be a volunteer or leader, you will do the same thing for yourself, build a profile. You'll put in all of your basic information, you know, contact information, emergency contact stuff. The next page you'll complete is our waivers, and on those waivers are if we're going to Tom Balding Bits and Spurs one day for a horse project meeting, you're okay with a certified screened leader hauling your student or your youth. You're okay with the paper coming and taking a picture and releasing a photo. We have some families that elect not to do that, and that's totally fine. These waivers, it's not going to exclude you from 4-H. That's not the goal of these at all. It just gives us the privacy limitations that you have with your family and your kids, and that's totally fine. And so that waiver page will be next. At the following page, it'll ask you to choose a club. You can call us down here at the office. You can shoot us an email and figure out clubs. We can shoot you info on club leaders, and you guys can call them. And like I said earlier, you know, you can go to a meeting and see the meeting if you want to, and see if that club's the right fit. We actually have one of my club leaders. I just sent just sent contact info for a family that they're going to do that. They're going to go see it. They're going to go see their meeting. They're actually having their meeting here on Sunday. So I think I might stop in just to say hello to that family and welcome them as a new family. And yeah, so you can choose your club. And then after that, I'll ask you projects. People always ask, well, what's too much? You know, what's our commitment here? And I tell them to just go ahead and sign up for everything that they are interested in. They don't have to do a project in that. That's the beautiful thing is, like, you can come to all the project meetings and learn about it all year long. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything. You're not required to show up to county fair and do a project. That's not a requirement we have at all. We just want you to learn, right? We want you to learn and have fun doing it. And so that's all we ask. And so we tell them to sign up for every project they would be interested in so that they're in the loop. Through Z Suite, we'll take parents' emails and we'll send out if they've checked the project area, any information regarding that area, then we'll get sent to them. And so that's the fun thing for them is they can keep them in the loop. Then after they get enrolled, there's a few places they can kind of continue to stay in the loop. We put out a newsletter every month, the Clover Chatter. We have on Z Suite, on that profile you sign up for, we have a calendar that we keep updated with all the activities coming. Mike has done a really, really good job at revamping the Johnson County Extension website. And so our chatters are actually uploaded there now. And he has a calendar up there of both his events and 4-H activities. And also our contact info. So if you guys get lost, you can just search us through the county website as well as the University of Wyoming. You can find us as Johnson County Extension Office. Yeah, it's a lot of fun there. And then we have a Facebook page if you guys are, you know, wanting to follow us there and kind of see us as we highlight clubs and members and different activities that come up. That's a few ways to stay in the loop with us. So,
well, Bryce, thank you for describing what a lively and vibrant adventure 4-H can bring to a kid. And that if you've got a kid at home who says, "Mom, I'm so bored, there's nothing to do," I think you've just proven that that's absolutely wrong here.
Yeah.
In Johnson County.
Absolutely.
There is more to do than you could ever think, and it doesn't have to stay within the traditional stereotypes of maybe what we think of,
yeah,
as you say, cows and plows.
Yeah, and then if there's a kid that so chooses that maybe they live in town and they want to try that opportunity, I encourage them to swing by and visit with us. We have what's called the South Barn right here next to the office that we have had this last year we had pigs and goats in. This next year that those same kids are coming back and we're looking at adding on to the last portion there of that barn. We have a family interested in turkeys and they might come in and build a spot there, and then we have access to this little building over here. So we have a facility, if the kids are willing to put the effort in and build it, there's opportunity there. So kind of a fun little community farm. They just need to come down and visit with us and kind of apply in person for a spot is kind of the fun thing. And so we still have ways to connect those kids to that traditional route if they so choose. So, but.
Well, Bryce McKenzie, thank you so much for describing 4-H. You have a very busy year. I look at your daunting calendar on your wall. Which actually makes even a busy person feel slightly queasy. And I wish you the very best for a very successful 4-H year, and I look forward to seeing all your floats in the parade again.
Yeah, absolutely.